What are the Texas sharpshooter fallacies, and how does it contribute to the publication of false papers? That's the topic today on Mind Matters.
Welcome to Mind Matters News, where artificial and natural intelligence meet head on. Here's your host, Robert J. Marks.
We've been talking with Gary N. Smith. He's a Fletcher Jones Professor of Economics at Pomona College, and he's written a great new book called The AI Delusion, published by Oxford University Press. I would certainly recommend the book to you because it is really, it was eye-opening for me, and I have lived in the area of AI and artificial neural networks and computational intelligence for many, many years. And I think it gives a different perspective of some of the challenges that we're going to have with AI. So, Gary, I wanted to talk to you today about the Texas sharpshooter fallacies that you talk about in your book. And I found these to be fascinating. And I told you I was going to ask you this. So your Texas sharpshooters aren't very accurate. Yeah. They're shooting against the wall and they have no aim at all. Yep. When they shoot. So why Texas sharpshooters? Where does that come from?
I don't know the origin of it. I actually lived in Texas for 3 years, and I have a brother who lives in Texas. So it's nothing. It's not picking on Texas. What it has to do with is something called data mining. And that's this practice of getting a bunch of data, looking for correlations, and you don't find it. You try something else. You don't find it. You try something else. You don't find it. You try something else. And of course, sooner or later, you find something.
That was the fallacy number one, I believe, right?
Well, it's related to both of them. And
let's explain number one, how we do this.
Okay, so Texas sharpshooter fallacy number one is that I'm going to prove what a great shot I am. And so I stand outside a barn, and then I go and paint 1,000 targets on the barn. And then I fire my gun without even looking. And what do you know? I hit a target. And then I go over and I race all the other targets and I say, look, I hit the target. And of course, it's meaningless because with so many targets, I'm bound to hit something. And so that's like an ESP research where you go out and you test 1,000 people for ESP, like trying to guess 10 coin flips in a row. And what do you know? Somebody's going to get all 10 right. And all it proves is you tested 1,000 people. It doesn't prove that there's actually anything going on there. And so Texas sharpshooter fallacy is, number one, is just testing lots and lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of different theories, and then reporting the one that seems confirmed by the data and not telling anybody that you tested thousands of other theories.
And you made an example of this with the relationship of drinking coffee and pancreatic cancer. And how this made the New England Journal of Medicine?
Yeah.
That was the Texas sharpshooter fallacy number one. And it was just jaw-dropping, the conclusion that was made there.
Well, they went out and they tested. They were looking for, I think it was tobacco they were looking for. And they looked at tobacco. They looked at cigarettes and cigars. And they just kept looking at so many different things.
That caused pancreatic cancer.
And they finally found a correlation between coffee drinking and pancreatic cancer. And then it turned out that their data, well, first of all, they tested so many things that it wasn't believable. And it also turned out that their data were skewed. And the people they looked at were all going to the same doctors who were concerned with upset stomachs and stuff like that. And the people who had ulcers had stopped drinking coffee. And the people who had pancreatic cancer had not stopped drinking coffee. And so they found a correlation between drinking coffee and pancreatic cancer. And it wasn't the coffee caused the cancer. It was having the cancer allow them to keep drinking coffee, unlike the ulcer sufferers who'd given up coffee.
Really?
And now the current medical research is actually that coffee's good for you. The coffee reduces the chances of cancer.
I saw that. And then I thought of all of the different things that I've heard in my life on the media. consuming aspartame causes cancer.
Yeah.
Right now, I don't know if that's true or not. Organic food is more healthy than GMO.
Yeah.
I don't know. Drinking wine is good for the blood.
Yeah.
I like that. But you have to, with your eyes open with these Texas sharpshooter fallacies, you have to look at these things with skepticism.
Yep. So they find people that have some kind of disease, and they look at what they have in common, And if you look at enough things, sure enough, you'll find something they have in common. And all it proves is that you looked for something in common. And it's frustrating as a consumer, like you say, your chocolate's bad for you, chocolate's good for you. So I gave up chocolate for a while. Now I'm back on chocolate. Or wine's bad for you. No, wine's good for you. Butter's bad for you. Well, actually, it's better than margarine. I mean, it's just so frustrating they keep changing their mind.
But the scary thing is this was published in a very prestigious journal, the New England Journal of Medicine.
Yeah, yeah.
And you mentioned in your book that the head researcher actually quit coffee, and I'm sure it probably impacted the coffee market for a while.
Everybody's, it did.
But it was it was totally bogus because it was later showed to not be true.
And not only that, but coffee actually seems to be good for you. So.
Yeah. Well, that's good because I drink a lot of coffee. So that's number one. You shoot at the barn with all the targets there, and it hits one, and you say, I hit a bullseye, and you publish the results, and everybody gets excited about your results. So what is Texas Sharpshooter fallacy number two?
Well, number two is you take the barn again, and you don't paint anything on it. You just fire your gun blindly, and the bullet hits the barn, hopefully. And then you go over and draw a target around the bullet hole, and pretend that's what you're aiming for. And so that's like looking at the data after you have the data and finding some little coincidental thing in there and pretending that that's what you're looking for in the first place. So in ESP research, there was some of the research that was done in the early years. They were trying to match up different patterns on cards called Zener cards. And they would go through and the sender would look at a card and the receiver would guess what it was. They'd go through the pack. And they find nothing. But then they'd look at, well, maybe the receiver was guessing the next card or the card two cards later. Or maybe the receiver was guessing the card before or the card two cards before. And you keep looking around and you find, oh, look at that. The receiver was really good at guessing cards three in advance. And so that's what you report. And you pretend that's what you're looking for in the first place, when of course you weren't. You found some coincidence. And you treat it as if that was the thing you were looking for.
The trouble with this is as follows. Both you and I know the pressure in academia to publish.
Oh, my God.
And it is strong. Publish or perish. You cannot get tenure or pay raises without publishing. So,
well, let me tell you a story. There was an ESP researcher in this lab, J.P. Ryan's lab, the most famous ESP researcher around. And He was concerned about these accusations that the sender and receiver were like reading each other's facial expressions and stuff like that. And so he wanted to set up an experiment where there were no facial expressions. And so he took these fertilized eggs and put them in a warmer, chicken eggs, and he put them in a warmer. And they were given warmth according to a computer's random event generator. And he claimed that... The random event generator was giving warmth more than half the time because the unborn chickens were sending signals to the computer. and even the other people in the lab were kind of suspicious of that one. And so they hid in a closet and they saw him go in and fiddle with the dials and make up numbers. And they popped out of the closet, you know, surprise.
Oh,
and the guy
gosh.
Said, yeah, I needed to get research funding. And I know there's something here, but I can't continue my work without the money. And so I just had to do this. And
oh, boy.
That's the publisher perish pressure, is you get pressure to do things that are nuts. More recently, there's this famous Danish researcher who had all these crazy things like messy rooms make you racist. Thinking about eating meat makes you violent. And it turns out he just made up his data because he said, I wanted too much too soon. And that's the publisher perish pressure that causes people to do Texas Sharpshooter fallacies one and two.
Well, number two, I thought of this example, and it's especially going to be amplified with big data. You can go into big data and you can find one of these spurious correlations. For example, eating raisins causes planter's warts, for example. And so you find this correlation. Okay, eating raisins causes planter's warts. And so you don't tell anybody about it. You went over this in your book. But so what you do is you go and you write a proposal to the National Institutes of Health or some other place, and you say, you know, I got this idea. idea that eating raisins can cause planter's warts. And I want to look at the data and see what it says. And so you get the money in and you look and lo and behold, you haven't told anybody, but you rediscover it. And all of a sudden you have a publication. I thought that was just chilling.
That's number two.
as far as what's going on. And you also mentioned in your book, and this was also jaw-dropping, but something I can believe, that a guy named John Ioannidis?
Oh, Ioannidis, yeah.
Ioannidis. Okay, thank you. He guesstimates that 90% of published medical research is flawed.
Yeah.
What do you think about that? Do you think it's really up to 90%?
I think it's true. And a lot of it is the Texas sharpshooter fallacies, that you're under enormous pressure to find something. And so you'll ransack the data, you'll torture the data, you'll look at different things, you'll find some coincidental correlation for some subset of the data, and then you publish that, and you don't tell people about all the other things you looked at before you stumbled on that coincidental correlation.
Oh, my goodness.
And so it's so common. It's so common in medical research, they actually have a name for it. They call it the decline effect, which is something that's supposed to be very powerful, and the article is published, and then you go out and use it in the real world, and it's vanished.
Oh, hence the impact of it is declined because you've cross-validated, if you will.
It wasn't real in the first place. It was just a coincidental correlation.
Well, I tell you, you're pointing this out has really heightened my attention to some of these claims that come out in the clickbait media about different things.
Oh, my God. Don't click. Don't click on the bait.
Don't click on the bait. Yeah, somebody gets paid advertising. Okay, well, Gary, thank you very much for this time. We've been talking to Gary Smith, and his new book is The AI Delusion. I recommend it highly. It's available at, like everything else in the world, on Amazon.com. And if you're into listening to books as I am, it's available on Audible. So thank you, Gary. Appreciate your time.
A lot of fun.
So till next time, this is Bob Marks with Mind Matters, and be of good cheer.
This has been Mind Matters News with your host, Robert J. Marks. Explore more at mindmatters.ai. That's mindmatters.ai. Mind Matters News is directed and edited by Austin Egbert. The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of the speakers. Mind Matters News is produced and copyrighted by the Walter Bradley Center for Natural and Artificial Intelligence at Discovery Institute.